all of which made me the best possible athlete I could be, a young athlete able to earn his shot in the big leagues. But in reality, my childhood wasn't like that at all. In fact, it was pretty much the exact opposite of what's being pushed on many kids today. Growing up in Terre Haute, Indiana, I never had a professional baseball lesson, not one lesson. And the only coach I ever had from the time I was 8 years old until I got into American Legion ball at 16 was my dad. The only coaching I ever had, if you want to call it that, was when I saved all my money 1 year to buy a book called How to Pitch by Bob Feller. I read it, picked up a few tips, and that was about it. Sure, we had indoor facilities, but they weren't the massive multi-purpose sports complexes that parents today spend big bucks on to have their kid play tournaments and practice year-round in to hone their skills. If someone said they were going to an indoor facility, it just meant they were going to use the bathroom, because indoor sports facilities didn't exist. And when it was time to quench your thirst, there weren't any fancy sports drinks to be pushed on us. When we practiced bunting, my dad would put shin guards down on first base and third base. If you hit the shin guard 3 times, you got an A&W root beer float as a reward. If you didn't, then you knew where the water fountain was. Don't get me wrong. My friends and I were active all year, but we never played a single sport year-round. Indiana was, and still is, a basketball state, so baseball was just something you did between basketball seasons. We practiced basketball from September through March until the state tournament was over, and then we were done, a total of 7 months, tops. But from April through part of August, we played baseball before starting the cycle all over again. Even during baseball season, we didn't have the complicated schedules and multi-layered practices most kids suffer through today. The way we did it in Terre Haute, we had games on Tuesday and Thursday nights for the first half of the season, then played on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings the second half of the season. And on the days we didn't have ball games, we practiced, but all we ever worked on was bunting, fielding, running the bases, and playing the infield. You know, just throwing the ball around and getting batters out. And that was it. There were no travel teams to contend with. None of us ever felt the anxiety that a lot of kids feel today about falling behind in their sport because we weren't doing all the right things. I never felt that I had to be good at baseball or felt any pressure from my parents whatsoever. In fact, if my dad had applied any pressure to me, my mom would have cold cocked him. I just went out and played baseball. That's all I ever did. And all of my friends ever did. Every last one of us were all the same in Terre Haute. None of us had anything that gave us an edge. We were just a bunch of kids playing baseball and, more important, having fun. And guess what? Throughout my entire career playing among the legends of the sport throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I came to find out that pretty much all pro athletes, no matter what position we played or, for that matter, what sport we played, had a similar type of childhood. We all played multiple sports growing up. We all took time off and never overdid it. We all grew up feeling no pressure and played sports simply because we loved playing them, not because we ever felt we had to. No one among the teams that I played on came from wealth or had access to extra coaching and top-of-the-line equipment when they were kids. But, most of all, none of them were having unnecessary surgeries, I can tell you that. We all lived the same kind of life when youth sports were merely a pastime and not the business they've become today. When I became the first person to have ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction surgery in September 1974, I was happy that the procedure saved my arm. But I never would have guessed my name would be attached to an operation now more common with kids than pro athletes, thanks to what youth sports have become. It was a decade later, around 1984, when I first heard the term Tommy John surgery, when I asked Dr. Frank Jobe, the surgeon who pioneered the method and had operated on me, where he came up with the name. He admitted it started because he got tired of saying what the real name was. As he began sharing his knowledge with other orthopedic surgeons about the procedure, it was easier for him to refer to it as, you know, the surgery that I did on Tommy John. A little further down the road, all he needed to do was say,